Hi, this is Paul Chappell here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you again for tuning in to this podcast. I am very excited about this series, Power for Life. The series begins with the resurrection, but then the Lord Jesus promised after he ascended into heaven that the Spirit of God would descend and that we would be born again by the Spirit. And so throughout this study, we're learning about the power of God and the power of God's Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. I trust that this series will encourage you, will help you to have a greater desire to walk not in your strength or in mine, but in the power of God through His Spirit. So let's open our Bibles and get into today's message. May God richly bless you. John 14, we're going to read verses 16 through 19, and then verses 26 and 27. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth Me no more. But ye see Me, because I live, ye shall live also. Then in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank You for the infallible Word of God. We thank You for the presence of God in our lives through the Spirit. We ask that all of us would learn more about what that means today. For those in this room who have never received Jesus as their Savior, may today be that day. For those who have received Christ, may they not be negligent. May they not live as though the Spirit of God is not present with them. But may they learn more today of what it means to walk in the power and comfort of the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As Jesus spent His last days with the disciples before His arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, before His crucifixion on the old rugged cross, He did everything He could to prepare His disciples for the reality ahead. He said to them, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." He told them, as they observe what we now call the Last Supper, that there would be difficult times coming. He said, for example, "One of you will betray Me. Another of you, as the cock crows the third time, will deny Me." He told them that He would be crucified on a cross, and He let them know that trouble was ahead. And by the way, if you intend to live for the Lord, God never promised that we would be without trouble or challenges in the Christian life. But then He intermixed these warnings with the wonderful truth that I want to share with you today. And that truth is found in John 14 and verse 16, when Jesus, in the midst of these warnings, said to His disciples, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." Now, as we celebrate Mother's Day, I believe that moms often are the instruments of God to bring comfort and encouragement into the family life. God uses moms in that way and with that ministry, and we thank the Lord for it. But moms who are nurturing by nature and who encourage and bring to the family comfort and hope also need the comfort that can only come from the Holy Spirit of God. And moms, today we pray that that comfort and that strength and encouragement will be known in your heart. I heard about a dad who came home from a long day of work, and as he pulled into the driveway, he saw his little 5-year-old daughter seated there on the front steps of the house, and she had a little tear in her eye. She had a frustrated look on her face, and as he walked up to her, he said, "What's wrong, honey? What happened?" And the little girl said, "Well, all day long, I've been having trouble with your wife." And sometimes moms have days like that, little troublesome, little difficult, and moms need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And all of us have times in our life where His comfort is so vitally, vitally needed. I think of how moms in today's society are not always appreciated as they should be. One doctor by the name of Paul Veets at New York University recently did a study where he surveyed 100 textbooks in the public schools. And as he surveyed these 100 recently published textbooks, he did not find one story uplifting motherhood. He looked throughout the textbooks, trying to find even one example where a mother at home was used in a positive light. He found articles about lesbianism. He found articles about dress and sex role reversals. He found articles about women in Burma and women in Africa. He found lots of articles about women, but never one time in these textbooks did he find a mom lifted up in a positive light in those particular textbooks. And again, we say today, moms, you deserve our honor and our praise, for without you and without the character you bring, we would not be here. We would not have the country we have today. And so God's Holy Spirit comforts moms, dads, and all of us as we walk through the times of tribulation in this world. Let's learn more about that this morning. I want you in your notes to notice, first of all, the promise of His comfort. God has promised that His Holy Spirit would bring comfort and strength to our hearts. In verse 16 of our text, He says, "I will give you another comforter." Notice it says in verse 16 that He may abide with you forever. Here we are introduced to the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. The fact that God is going to live in us by way of His Holy Spirit. I love how D.L. Moody describes the Holy Spirit's ministry. He said, "The work of the Spirit is to impart life, to implant hope, to give liberty, to testify of Christ, to guide us into all truth, to teach us all things, to comfort the believer, and to convict the world of sin." And we see this indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it is defined for us in verse number 16 with the word comforter. And the word comforter, many of you have studied before, the Greek word parakletos. And the Greek word describes one who comes along our side, one who gives us aid and assistance in a time of need. And the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and gives us aid, and He advocates for us and He pleads for us. And so Jesus promised us in verse number 18 of this text, "I will not leave you comfortless." Years ago, there was a young mother walking across the hills of South Wales through a terrible blizzard. As she was walking, carrying her tiny baby in her arms, she was overtaken by the snow and the cold. History records she found a large tree, and she sat underneath that tree, and there, as she was waiting out the storm, she succumbed to the cold, and her life was lost. As the searchers came and found her body under the tree, they also found her little baby. They noticed that this mother had taken her outer clothing and had wrapped her clothing around the baby, and because of her heroism and sacrifice, the baby's life was spared. She had done all that she could. Years later, that little baby, David Lloyd George, became the great Prime Minister of England and was greatly used as a servant to develop that great nation during an important time of history. All because of a mother's comfort, all because of a mother's aid, all because of a mother's sacrifice. God has given to us the Holy Spirit to come and to comfort us in the seasons of difficulty, in the difficult challenges that we face. The Comforter is with us. I want you to notice not only His ministry defined as the Comforter, I want you to see His ministry demonstrated. The Holy Spirit of God demonstrates to us His love and God's comfort time and time again. He promises comfort over fear in our lives. Many times we have situations in our lives as moms, as dads, that bring great fear, and suddenly we find ourselves needing the Holy Spirit's comfort. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Oh, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. I often wonder, what do people do without the comfort and without the presence of the Holy Spirit of God? His indwelling presence is something we should not neglect. He comes to the lonely man or woman today, and He says, I want to be with you and come alongside of you and be your comfort today. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For the Lord hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Holy Spirit is an indwelling presence in the life of all who have been born again. But not only is He an indwelling presence with us, notice this truth specifically. He's an indwelling presence for a redeemed people. For a redeemed people. Now, I want you to read with me verse 17 of John chapter 14. And notice how Jesus defines those who will know the presence of the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Now the Bible says this ministry of the Holy Spirit is something the world does not know. The Bible describes the ministry of the Holy Spirit as something that is available to those who are in Christ, to those who know the Lord. J. Vernon McGee, a preacher of last century, would often say there are two kinds of people in the world today, the saints and the ain'ts. Now, that's not good grammar, but that's pretty good theology. We're either in Christ or we're not in Christ. And for those who are in Christ, those who are not of this world, how many of you would say, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through? For those of us who are in Christ, then God says, I have a comforter for you. Now, some of you are just this morning, even those of you that are new believers, you're just contemplating the reality of the abiding and dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in your life now that you have accepted Jesus as your Savior. So let's learn a little more about that. Notice in your notes, 1 Corinthians 6:19, what it says. A wonderful text. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? You see, Paul was writing to the Corinthian believers, and he was reminding them, now that they were redeemed, now that they were in Christ and not of this world, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, lived inside of them. And he says, you have this of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so we have been bought with a price, and the price was sung about by the choir a moment ago. The price was the precious blood of Jesus, and because He shed His blood, we can have the redemption of our sin. And when we have that redemption, we are in Christ, and we possess the Holy Spirit. And so this comfort provides for us an indwelling presence. It's for a redeemed people. And then thirdly, it's from the Heavenly Father, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Very simply stated in John chapter 14 and verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. And so the Holy Spirit of God has been sent by the Heavenly Father. John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Notice that, John 16, 7. It is expedient for you. This term means it is conducive to your advantage. Jesus literally said to His disciples, it's better for you that I go away, because when I go away, my Spirit will indwell you. The omnipresent Holy Spirit of God will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And so the promise of His comfort is something that every believer has been given. But now let's notice, secondly this morning, the permanence of His comfort. The permanence of His comfort. You know, a lot of Christians feel like you can get encouragement maybe on a Sunday or maybe at a special revival meeting. And I know some who even erroneously teach that they have the Holy Spirit for a while, then they don't have the Holy Spirit for a while. And of course, the logical conclusion of that is that they're saved a while, they're not saved a while. By the way, nothing could be farther from the truth. If you have accepted Christ as Savior, you have received the eternal gift of God. It's not here a while, gone a while. For the Bible teaches very clearly that His comfort is a permanent, abiding relationship. Let's see what the Bible says about that. Verse 16 of our text, He says, that He may abide with you forever. That He may abide with you forever. The word abide means to remain. Now, we don't know a lot about abiding in our culture today. We don't even abide at our houses. Our houses are sort of like gas stations. We pull in, we fill up, we leave. We're not good at abiding in our society today. We don't always understand what that means, but God says, look, I'm not coming in for just a little while and then gone. I'm never going to leave you. I'm not going to let you go. How does that work? Let's notice very quickly the permanence. First of all, the inception of His presence. Where does it begin? How does this relationship with God and His Spirit begin? And that's a very, very good question. And we find the answer in John chapter 3 and verse 5 when Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water," speaking of the physical birth, "and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Question, how many of you would like to enter into the kingdom of God someday for all of eternity? All right, Nicodemus was curious about that. And Jesus said, you must be born again. John chapter 3 and verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. To be born again is to be regenerated from the inside out. It is that work of the Holy Spirit whereby we are changed from glory to glory, whereby we have a home in heaven. Regeneration, the inception of His presence. Where did it all begin? For me, it began April the 5th, 1972, when I prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And as a sinner, I turned to Him and to Him alone. And I asked Him to forgive my sin and be my Savior. And I invited Him into my heart. I did not understand it all theologically. I don't even know how to explain it all now except to tell you by faith that on that day and at that moment in San Jose, California, when I prayed to receive Christ as Savior, at that moment, His Spirit came into my life and sealed me forever. That's the inception. Do you have a spiritual birthday like that? A time when you were born again. But notice, secondly, the constance of His presence. You see, as we said a moment ago, it's an abiding relationship. It's not here a while, gone a while. God doesn't want to comfort you, strengthen you, or teach you just during certain times. But this is an abiding relationship. In John chapter 7, He was explaining this truth. And He said in verse 37, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this He spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Now, the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. And since that time, all who received Jesus as their Savior received the Holy Spirit at that very moment. You do not need a Pentecost, quote, experience to know that you have the Holy Spirit of God, but you certainly need to be saved to know that you have the Holy Spirit of God. And when you receive Christ as Savior, He abides with you. And verse 17 says, He shall be in you. He will stay with you. And so the inception of His presence began the day that you were saved. The constance of His presence is because of the fact that the Holy Spirit is omnipresent God, always with us. But notice, thirdly, the eternality of His presence. You see, this matter of having God's comfort and God's presence is something that will last forever. He says it is until the day of our redemption. Ephesians 1:13, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." Now watch this. We who are saved are the purchased possession. Remember, we have been bought with a price. Are you with me? How many of you understand God is coming back for His purchased possession? We are the bride of Christ. And just as I had a wedding yesterday, and just as I stood right here with the groom on this platform, and just as that groom watched that bride coming down the aisle and went and received that bride unto himself, my friend, there is a God in heaven who loves you. There is a Jesus Christ who died for you in the flesh. And I want you to understand that he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he is waiting and he is ready to come and to get his bride. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ, at that moment you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, and nothing can take your salvation away. And nothing can take God's presence away from your life until the day of redemption. And then it gets even better than that, for it goes all the way into eternity, this matter of having the Spirit of God in your life. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The promise of his comfort. Jesus said, "You're going to have some trouble, but I'm sending you a comforter." The permanence of his comfort. Jesus said, "By the way, he's not going to leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll always be with you." And then I want to close with this thought this morning. The prompting of his comforter. The prompting of the comforter. Now, the Holy Spirit wants to help you. Anybody like me that's going to need his help tomorrow morning? I've got to have his help every single moment of every day. And he wants to help you. He wants to remind you to stay away from sin. He wants to remind you to do what is right. He wants to lift you up when you're about to fall. The Holy Spirit wants to help prompt you and guide you. Notice what it says in John chapter 14 and verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Now again, moms come to mind. Moms are great at teaching, and moms are great at reminding us of things. I heard of a little boy who was in a Sunday school program, and they were all standing on the platform, the boys and girls, and they each had a part, sort of like the girls this morning. And all of a sudden, it came this young man's part, and he did what a lot of us might do. He froze. He could not remember the words at all. And his mom was doing her best. She was down there in the front telling him the words and trying to give him little hints of what to say, and he just couldn't quite hear. And finally, he leaned over, and she spoke a little louder, and she said, "I am the light of the world." And then it came to him, and he stood up, put his shoulders back, and said, "My mom is the light of the world." Now, she prompted him. He just didn't quite get the whole message, but did the best that he could. Thank God for the prompting of mothers. Thank God for the prompting of good Christians. Thank God for the prompting of good friends who tell us, "Hey, missed you in church." That's not your enemy. That's your friend. Thank God for people who remind us. But listen, there are lots of times in life when you're TDY on a mission, when you're traveling in business, when you're on your way home from the commute, lots of times when good friends aren't around, and you're going to have to know what it means to listen to the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to know what it means to follow his leadership in your life. And I want you to notice, first of all, the Comforter will teach you. Sometimes we speak of the Holy Spirit in these terms. We say, "He gave me unction. The Holy Spirit gave me an anointing." The unction of the Holy Spirit, the anointing, meaning that he reminds us and he empowers us. He equips us in ways that are not our own ways. The Bible says in 1 John 2 and verse 20, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." In other words, God's Holy Spirit gives us wisdom and direction. 1 John 2, 27, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you." Watch this. "And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Did you know that as a Baptist, I believe that God intends for every Christian to have his word, the Bible, and that God's Bible is the inspired word of God? And I also believe that God will anoint yes, laymen, not just pastors, everyone in this room, God wants to give you an anointing, which means He wants to give you an understanding of the Word of God. He wants to illuminate your mind. You see, back in the Dark Ages, when the Roman Catholic Church went throughout Europe, when they went from city to city taking the Bibles and putting them into the city squares, some of you have read about the Dark Ages, and they burned the Bibles. They burned millions and millions of Bibles because they believed that the church should interpret the truth to the people. I want you to know what we believe as Baptists. We believe that every one of you ought to own a Bible and that the Holy Spirit will interpret the truth to you. Yes, we have preachers and missionaries and evangelists, and thank God for those who help us along. But it'll be a wonderful day when every mother and father in this room would open the Word of God and would read it in the morning and would let the Holy Spirit teach you and guide you, and you would teach and train your children. We would have revival in America if every one of us would say, Lord, oh, how I need your anointing and your help today that I might learn the Word of God. You see, the Holy Spirit of God will teach you if you want to learn and grow. And there'll come some time. You'll say, I just cannot understand this passage, and you'll ask a friend or a pastor, but I'm saying to you that God will give you the strength and the knowledge along the way. Not only will He teach you, but the Holy Spirit will also remind you of truth. How many of you are like me? It's not just about learning new stuff. It's about remembering all the stuff you already heard, right? And I need the Holy Spirit to remind me of that. There's nothing better than maybe being out witnessing to someone or counseling someone in my office even, and suddenly the Holy Spirit brings to my memory the exact scripture that I need to share. Suddenly God guides me in what to say. It's a wonderful thing to be used of God in that way. Oh, do you understand it today? I love what George Sweeting said about this matter of having the knowledge of God's truth. He said the very same Holy Spirit who led these men to write longs to lead us today so we can understand. Without the Holy Spirit, the Bible is like an ocean which cannot be sounded, heavens which cannot be surveyed, minds which cannot be explored, and mysteries beyond unraveling. We must yield to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us need to learn how to listen to that still small voice. Need to learn how to find and hear the promptings of the Holy Spirit of God. And He'll give us the knowledge we need. And He'll give us the reminders to do the things that He wants us to do every day. Philippians 2 and verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Now listen carefully. When you are following the leadership of the Holy Spirit and listening to His promptings, you're going to think of others. You're going to think of mother on Mother's Day, and you're going to think of mother on the day after Mother's Day. You're going to think of your husband. You're going to think of your children. And if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to prompt you, He will. And He'll prompt you on how to encourage your wife. And He'll prompt you on how to get to the house of God. Amen. He might even bring some of you tonight. He might even want you to start getting involved in witnessing. It's amazing what you might do if you'd listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm saying if you're saved, He lives in you and He's trying to guide you. He's trying to convict you. He's trying to help you. But you can't turn Him off and on like a light switch. The Spirit of the living God wants to guide and direct your life. And He'll help you. He'll help you to show love and to show the love of Christ. I see there are five different love languages that the Scripture speaks about, and some of you perhaps have learned them, and even in marriage counseling, there's the language of just words of encouragement. Some people need that. In fact, we probably all do. Someone to say, hey, you're doing a good job. I appreciate you. There's the language of giving a gift. Everybody appreciates that. And I believe all of us appreciate from time to time just someone showing their love. There's acts of service, just doing something without maybe being expected to do it. There's this matter of just quality time, just giving someone your time. There's the matter of maybe just a physical touch, maybe hugging your child and saying, I want you to know I love you. And some of you say, well, I wasn't raised up in that kind of a family. I'm sorry, we're not here to study your fleshly background. We're here to learn what the Holy Spirit can help you do. It's time to move on past the excuses of the flesh and the rudiments of this world and learn what it is to be a spiritual man or woman and to learn how to obtain the inner resources that the Holy Spirit of God wants to give. Jesus said, now I'm going to be leaving you. And in the world, you'll have some tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And when the tough times come, I want you to know I'm asking the Father to send the Comforter. For there are three of us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three are one. And the Holy Spirit will indwell you, and He will abide with you. The promise of His comfort has been given by Jesus Christ. The permanence of His comfort has been promised to all, for He will abide. And the prompting of the Comforter is available for anyone who will listen. He'll touch your heart. He'll show you what to do if you'll follow His will. I think one of the loneliest days in my entire life was when I, as a 17-year-old boy, in June of my senior year in high school, finished up high school, and my mother drove me to the Gimpo International Airport in Seoul, Korea. I don't remember where my dad was at that time, but my folks had served as missionaries in Korea. I'd finished my schooling. It was time to come back to the States, earn a few bucks, and go to college. Now, I remember my mom as we caught that taxi cab over to the Seoul International Airport. We walked into the terminal. Back then, you could walk past customs and walk somebody all the way to the gate. And I remember the tears as they flowed down her face. My mom had been such a tremendous help and friend. She had sat at the foot of my bed throughout those few years in Korea and talked with me about lessons of life and challenged me to live for the Lord. From the time I was young, she had taught me about Jesus and had taught me about the Word of God. And now I'm sure she was thinking, where did these 17 years go? How could time go by? Moms, how many times have you had that thought? We talked for a few more moments. They called and said flight 003 to Los Angeles, now boarding. I remember turning away from my mother and I felt the loneliness. I felt the emotion. I don't remember many tears myself, but I remember seeing my mother as she cried. The fact of the matter was she couldn't go to college with me. The fact of the matter was she was now leaving me to the Lord, commending me to His grace. And I certainly missed her on that long flight back to America, but I'm so thankful that before I left her care, she had given me the teachings necessary to bring me to the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that she had introduced me to the one that would never leave me, no matter how many airplanes I would get on, no matter how many places I might go in my lifetime. She had introduced me to the one that would always remind me and always teach me if I would but listen. Oh, there's no greater gift than the gift of salvation. Thank God for godly mothers. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you today to trust Him, receive Christ, and know the presence and comfort of the Holy Spirit. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.